Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Hey, what's going on, No Bad Dog Army? This is a great podcast with a dog owner who is struggling, like a lot of you out there, with reactivity on the leash. We've done a lot of reactivity podcast here, but there's some things said in this podcast that we haven't really talked about, and we go over a lot of expectations in reality, and you know, we talk about different breeds and things that you really just can't ever completely get rid of, and we talk about going against nature, and yeah, it's a good one. It's definitely some good information in here about using the e-collar and using the handling and what we should do when dogs are outside and barking in the fenced in yard, and just kind of like going over and connecting the dots for you guys. So this is a great one. By the time you guys are listening to this, we're going to be on tour. So we're really excited and to hit the road, and we can't wait to meet some of you guys. So if you can, come on out and hang out for the meet and greet. The link is in the description below. Of course, there's still audit tickets available. And for the first time ever on the No Bad Dog Members Club, I have actually introduced two of my trainers into the Members Club, answering your questions in the All Access tier. So you guys can go and get all of the unlimited content that we put out on YouTube, but it's the full length version. YouTube videos are 15, 20 minutes. The full length versions are 2 hours. So you're getting all the meat and potatoes and all the things in between. These people are paying a lot of money to train with me, and you guys are getting several of them a month in the comfort of your own home on your own terms, as well as the No Bad Dog wonderful community empowering and helping each other, as well as, of course, access to my actual trainers. And you can ask them as many questions as you want throughout the day. It's really a rare service, and we know that the prices are going up next year, so make sure if you guys want to get in, lock it in. Link in the description below to join the members club. We'll see you there. And if you guys want me to answer your dog training questions, make sure you go over to the iTunes review chart and leave your review and leave me your questions. I am completely out right now, so we won't have any at the end, but if you guys have any questions, go over the iTunes review chart and leave a review, and we'll see you there. What are your biggest concerns?
Like I said, the walks used to be really, really horrible, where I couldn't walk him. Like, he, as a puppy, he could walk and he could do things and stuff. You know, you take him in, he was reactive to people. We don't have any reactivity on walks to people. Bikes can pass, kids can pass. We used to never be able to do any of that. We got through all that without a problem. We can just walk. Mm-hmm. The dog issue still, and it said it's selective. Last night we passed the dog. We came around a bend. The dog was there. He saw the dog, and his usual thing is you get the glare, you see the stance change, so we know what signs to look for. So last time we came around the bend, we saw it, so I crossed him over the street, and what I did was I gave him a low tap. I saw him give a little glare. I had him on like an 18 on his collar. I just said no, tapped it, said leave it, and we kept walking, and then he looked over again, said no again, leave it, walk, and that dog he left alone, not a peep. Mm-hmm. We crossed another dog 4 blocks later, and he goes, that shit crazy.
Okay. Is he fixed?
Yes.
Okay. So I would say that, not knowing exactly because I can't see him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this is going to come down to your handling.
Right.
So I would be more focusing on your physical handling when a dog is getting built up. If what you're doing isn't working, you have to switch. So don't keep doing what you're doing. If things are inconsistent, you have to change things up, because right now it seems like you only have one thing in your toolbox where you're just trying to use the e-collar to snap them out of things, and it's not working consistently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you definitely want to switch gears on that. So how is your heel command with him?
He's really good. Like I said, he originally came home on a slip lead from Board and Train. And they worked on the reactivity there in the facility. And he came home, whatever, you know, they do the at-home visit with us afterwards and stuff like that. We went to the place and trained with them afterwards and stuff like that. They come back.
Yep.
And our neighborhood's generally quiet, so you don't see dogs all the time. So they come to a visit. Mm-hmm. We didn't see dogs. So then when I took him on a walk on my own in the slip call, I was afraid as crap that he was going to, like, he lunged and I thought I was going to lose the leash or I was going to break on him. And that's it. That's when they put him on the they put him on the prong collar. They put him on a 2.25 Sprengler prong. But I said his heel's good. He knows the difference between heel and let's go. Like, if I stop, he sits.
Yeah. Okay.
But I said with the dog thing, I said it just I've learned now to watch his body language and I can kind of sometimes.
Yeah. What do you do when this happens?
So they had me, I said, originally had me using the e-collar with him. So, like, we've had it gone through the parts of, like, we had a trainer one for us, like, feed the shit out of him to kind of just, you know, get him to sit and feed the crap out of him and reward him and just kind of let the dog pass. And that didn't really work with him, you know. Now it's the e-collar. And they said, well, you have to crank it higher. You have to put it higher so he understands that this is not acceptable. So I was like, I know, but how high do you crank it? Because he just gets amped.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worrying too much about the e-collar. Yeah, that doesn't work for you.
No, it's not working on him. I removed the e-collar from that for a while. And then they said, no, you have to do this situation. Went bad with him. Two people have to walk him. And I'm like, he really has a good walk. It just happens to be that split second when all of a sudden it changes when you come around a bend or wherever it is or –
yeah,
a dog's coming. And I said, and it's very particular. I said, they bring their dogs and train. He knows. He said he was in group classes out in public, lined up, not a problem. It's like, you know, we joke, like, you know, it's the kid that goes to school, behaves, comes home, and something different. I'm like, I have to be doing something different because he could be in line and be in class and not have a reaction.
Yeah.
But a random dog that's not in class can pass and he will react.
Yeah. And a lot of that is because of your handling. So that's what I'm trying to narrow down here is what you're doing is not, and we see this every day, and it's all it is just what you're doing with him. Okay. That's why I'm trying to figure out like how you're handling him during this time. So I would be suggesting like the e-collar is great for certain scenarios, but if it's like if I'm using any equipment on a dog, harness, treat, e-collar, ball, toy, whatever, and it's not working, I move on. I just, okay, let's switch gears. This isn't working for us. So it's not working for you. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
This is all you're handling. So you have to make sure that you're handling him properly under these circumstances. And oftentimes when dogs are trained by a trainer and they go back to the training facility, they act like they did when they left. And also you are mindful about how you're handling him because your trainers are trying to work with you on being a good handler. So when you're out, you just have to make sure that you're decompressing and dismantling this build that's creating before it explodes. So oftentimes what people do is when they're out with a dog, and then if you're out for a 30-minute walk and you see somebody once, it's a 10-second blimp in that 30 minutes. It shouldn't be anything. So you just have to make sure that when you're working with him, you're giving him clear, concise information during that time to dismantle the build.
Okay.
So as you're walking with him, you need to make sure that you're doing inside turns, outside turns. Once he starts to build, your job as you're out, especially with any type of terrier mix, typically they have a high prey drive, they lock in, they hyper focus, they can become very vocal, they become obsessed. And so you have to dismantle that with handling. So if you're walking out and the dog sees the other dog and then you kind of fall apart, that's why things are getting worse and not getting better.
Okay.
So that means if he's on my left side and I'm out with him and I'm healing and he sees another dog, instead of this is what everyone does, they look at the dog, they go, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it. And it just, that tells the dog, react, 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 react. So that's first thing that people do, don't do that. But you have to make sure that you're taking off his build physically. So when we're handling dogs at the facility, I always tell people that wherever the head will go, the mind will follow. So physically, if you're out with him and he, like, if you're out walking and he sees another dog and his chest pumps up and his ears flick up and he just gets intense and he's just hyper-focused, like some sort of football player trying to tackle the guy, right? Just that's all they're focused on. And they're like locked in and their whole body just moves and their head stays stiff on that thing. You have to then break that down. He's not just going to, if you say leave it, he's going to go, oh, okay, I'll leave it. That's not happening with this dog.
Right.
You have to work him physically and handle him physically to start to dismantle some of that build. And that's where you take your left leg and you turn into him and you cut him off and you go the other way. And as he's building, you're taking that dog that's building off of that track. And that's one of the only ways to start to dismantle a dog that's reactive like that.
Okay. So you said turn into him and turn him the other way. Okay. It's so crazy.
What you're doing is you have to figure out, and I don't know, there's not just one thing like, oh, take a left and he'll stop. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, I have had in the last couple months, especially over the summer, I have had so many terriers in my facility that we have filmed with on my channel that are the same way. And we have used the e-collar. It's been nice, but that's just a little piece of deactivation. But your dog maybe doesn't like dogs. Your dog maybe gets super predatorial on the leash. Your dog gets very vulnerable on the leash. Who knows what the cause of the actual like laser focus is? Your job is to dismantle that build and this is all a handling thing. This is all just how you're handling the situation. It doesn't really, again, it doesn't, his how he feels about these other dogs shouldn't predicate the outcome of how he behaves, because ultimately you are the one that is out with him. So again, just like with anything else in the world, like with kids, with anything, you're out and they're like, oh, I want to go here. I want to go. And they just started driving your car. We're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts. We're all going to get donuts. We're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. We're all going to, like, that doesn't happen. Like, I know what you want, but so the inside turn, essentially, like if he's at your left side and he's built on this dog, just hyper focuses. And your job is to spend 15 to 25 seconds to start to decrease that build. And it's a very cat and mouse type of game between you and him. Like you have to really focus on what you're doing to dismantle this, because some dogs, especially terriers, even when they do react to certain tools and you have an opportunity to bring a dog down with tools, they're still so hyper focused that you have to basically unravel that tightness. And so again, his head. So if he's on your left side and you literally turn 90 degrees to the left, boom, he's cut off. And the only way he can look at that dog now is if he flips around and turns.
Okay.
And then you cut again and you're doing this. I think a lot of people, when I talk about this, think that it means you have to just walk back home or you have to go the other way or whatever. And that's not what I'm saying. You just have to, I think the best way that I'm thinking about it is like dismantle, disengage, break down. Like you have to, and then you can do drawback recalls. So you're out for a walk. He sees a dog. He starts to build. You draw back 1, 2, 3 steps. You say his name, come. If he doesn't, you give him a correction. He comes to you. If he does, great. But you're going to have to just break him down and kind of unravel that as you're working with this other dog.
Okay. Yeah. I kept saying, I know it's not him, it's me.
Correct.
And I said, like, I 100% own it. Like I said, like, that's what I kept saying. Like, I know I'm missing a piece. I said, because I can get everything else. And I'm like, what am I missing here? Because I just, And they said, when they came here Sunday and said to me, move up to 80, I'm like, that's it. I can't do it. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's not doing it. And I'm like, you guys aren't here to see how he goes ballistic. And it's not worth it. I'm like, because it just charges him more. Like, the backyard thing is just, I don't know how to, we have a dog behind us he doesn't react to. The other side of the fence he doesn't react to. The one that has a small dog, he reacts to. The guy has a shop next door. He hears noise all day. Like, he hears the gate open, he starts, whatever. But when that little dog comes, he's beyond. And like, I'm like, how do I even, like, he, like, paces the entire length of the fence. So,
yeah, well, that's where, again, like, you can't.
Do I put him on a leash? Like, that's what everyone kept saying. Like, put him on a leash outside. Only let him outside on a leash. And
no, that's not going to change. That's not going to do anything. Like, that's not going to change how he feels about what's going on. That's just going to hold him back even more. It's just, fences hold dogs back. So putting him on a leash is going to do the same thing. You're going to hold him back inside of a fence then. So it's not about that. It's more about you have to, this is more of like a lifestyle thing than anything. Like, if your dog wants to chase around this little small dog because he thinks it's a toy or he thinks it's lunch, then your job is two things. Is you either recall your dog and put him inside when that happens, or you figure out some sort of conversation to your neighbor to say, like, hey, can you just let me know when you're going to put your dog out or something? Because I guess my point is from what you're telling me in the context, it seems like, and it totally, to me, like, to you, it may not make sense. To me, it's the sky is blue and the grass is green. Like, this is, yeah, yeah. Like, you have a terrier mix that, yeah, it doesn't really care about this dog, doesn't really care much about this dog. But as soon as this little dog comes out, it's like all of a sudden. And dog owners, like, all of a sudden, all the time, that comes out of their mouth often. It's not all of it. Things don't have, unless it's a neurological, like, retardation, like, genetical problem, all of a sudden things don't really happen. That doesn't happen. Right. It's usually, there's always a reason. And it's very clear to some people who, like, understand dogs. And again, if you have a terrier that has this other dog running back and forth on the fence or whatever, and then your dog is chasing that dog and you're like, I don't understand. Like, well, he just wants to get to the other dog. So that, again, like, that's more of a lifestyle thing than anything. Like, you're going to have to just figure out. That's like if you have a yard and you have a one single kid in your house that you are raising your child, right? And then the next neighbor has five, and every day they're out and they're playing and they're having fun and they got music going and they're laughing and they're kicking the ball and they're playing free. Everything is great. And your kid's just over there going, I want to go over there. And you're like, I don't understand, what's wrong with my kid? He always wants to go over there. What's wrong? Why does he want to go over there? It's like, it's pretty obvious why. Like, if your dog wants to go over there, it's because he wants to get to that other dog for whatever reason. That's not our concern right now. So it's there's nothing you can really do about that situation unless you manage it in a lifestyle scenario. Like, you can't just say, hey, I know you're bored. I know you're pacing on this fence, and now there's a little tiny squirrel over there running around with a dog collar on, and I don't want you to care about that dog. Like, that's, I mean, it's possible, but again, like,
but he comes out of the house and he will sit in that yard, in our yard, facing their property.
Yeah.
Like, he just sits there and waits, and there are other dogs, just lays on the deck and is content or whatever until he makes that bolt, and then she doesn't understand. She does her little bunny hop thing across the yard towards him and said, and then he just turns and just gets in her face, growls at her, and then goes back to running.
Yeah. That's what dogs do.
But he doesn't bother the dog in the back. There's a dog behind it, and that one he can't be bothered with.
Yeah.
And they said they just moved in, and this other dog said, we had no problem last year with the house next door. All of a sudden this year it bothers him this year. That's, I'm like, I just, you know, I'm like, do I distract him? Like, just really work on his recall and just send him to play? It's, you know, he's got outside. Am I doing that?
You could. Yeah, you could. But the only problem is like, again, you're trying to go against a nature thing. You're trying to tell the fish not to swim. Like, this. See, and the other thing is like, you have to realize that when dogs mature, they change completely. Mm-hmm. So again, like, you're like, oh, the daycare thing. And last year he didn't do this. Last year he was a puppy.
Yep, that's what I said. He literally turned one in October, and then all of a sudden said his play changed a little bit. And
yeah, it changed.
He was good until he wasn't good.
Well, like you said, like your daycare, like you gotta, like I have a daycare myself. We've had one for 6 years, and you know our job is to, we know dogs. I mean, that's our job. Dog owners who drop their dogs off really don't know their dogs. Like they don't know how they behave. They don't know how they interact. They don't know how to, they don't know how to, there's a lot that goes on. It's just like, you know, with teachers, right? Like we teachers probably see more of their kids than anything else. And so anyway, my point is when your daycare staff's like, hey, he can't come back anymore. He's changed. You're like, oh, at 8 months, all of a sudden he's not a puppy anymore. So it's not, there's no surprise there, like whatsoever.
Right.
Your dog is just not a puppy. It's the same thing as like human beings. Like, oh, all of a sudden, like they just didn't want to watch Barney anymore. It's so weird. I don't understand. Like they loved Barney. It's like, why? And then, but if you're like, oh yeah, that actually makes total sense. So dogs, as they mature, so when they're puppies, they're like little kids. They're like every single person walking the planet. They're so naive, right? They're vulnerable. They're like, everyone's nice. I love everybody. There's blah, blah, blah. And once puppies turn into adult dogs, they start to become who they are. And and again, in a lot of who dogs are is their genetics. So, and it is breed, yes, but it's also where they came from. So I know that sometimes isn't even thought of, but when you get a really high drivey breed mixed in with things, it does change the behavior of the dog. And like, again, terriers are very, very, very prey driven. That's what, I mean, they chase and kill and, you know, not in a bad way. I'm not talking about pit bull terriers. I mean, of course they're terriers. I'm talking about Jack Russell terriers. I'm talking about Wheaton terriers, Airedale. I mean, those are working dogs across the terrier line. So that's what you're kind of seeing, and it may be a surprise to you, and that's fair, of course. But I'm just trying to walk you through, like, okay, you have this dog that was great, and all of a sudden just started having these semi-reactive issues to certain dogs. And again, if you have a smaller dog running around on one end of the fence, and then another dog over here that's just like not doing anything, and your terrier mix is chasing the smaller dog and obsess, that doesn't surprise me. And if your dog is behaving better in group class or at the training facility with the trainer there, that also doesn't surprise me, because it's not really their space. It's not their neighborhood. It's not their yard, if you will. And so,
right. Because I could definitely say his demeanor changes when he walks into the facility.
Of course. Yeah. He's like, oh, this is where all the strict uncles and aunts live. It's just, you know, we see it all the time with our boarding trains. They come in and they're like saluting us at the door, and it happens. But so again, like, walking through what you're dealing with, I think the backyard with the pacing and kind of like locked in on this other dog, you're getting this redirective behavior towards the other dog.
Right.
And I'm the picture you painted is pretty clear to me. You have a fence. Like one of the dogs that's reactive more is just sitting there like waiting for this little dog to come outside. And then your other dog is just chilling on the fence. And then as soon as your one dog gets fired up and starts moving around, your other dog gets up and says, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And your one dog is so intense trying to pace this dog back and forth to try to get to the other fence or try to hunt this dog or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then what you're getting is a very simple, basic, common, redirective behavior. So it's frustration. So some dogs get so obsessed and so hyper-focused on certain things that they redirect. Sometimes it happens on the leash. Sometimes it happens on a fence. But they're basically got so much energy focused on this one thing. Gotta have it. Give me. And they're just chasing. They're smelling. They're sniffing. They're obsessed. And actually, the fence creates more of that because they can't get to it. So they're kind of like, hold me back. And so it creates more of that frustration. And then the other dog comes up and gets in that dog's way. And then they're like, rawr, and they just grab and pin the dog and say, get the hell out of here, man. I'm working. So all of what you're saying is making sense. And then on the outside, the e-collar is just, you know, it's not really going to break this particular dog down. And I've even seen dogs, like, especially when they get locked in, like a predatorial lock-in is such a different, if you really watch dogs and how they get in on that, it's such a different state of mind. It's not like, like if your dog was playing with another dog, or your dog was curious, or your dog was maybe just kind of aloof and like not paying attention and running away, your AD would flip them over and rip them back, you know, get them back to you. But when you're dealing with like a prey drive and a dog that's obsessed, that e-collar, no matter how high you are, is just going to get in the way. And that's why I was, you've heard me talk about the pager, because right. the stimulation rises up and it kind of gets louder, 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 louder. And when dogs are hyper-focused, they don't feel much as far as that, those levels of stimulation. Right. But the pager is different because it's not stimulation. Stimulation has multiple levels of 0 to 127, and the pager is just this very abrupt, like, you know. So that's why I like using the pager, because it's an easier like snap out of it. But
okay,
with you, and I'm trying to paint you a picture so you better understand. I've been working with friends' dogs that do like beagle and hare type of stuff, mm-hmm. where the beagles just chase the rabbits, and they're not hunting the rabbits. It's just you're getting scored off how close your dog gets to the rabbit, right? And anyway, it's a huge culture, and I've seen dogs actually have I saw this one dog. He was in a trial, and he ran into a stick, and he just like hit it right, and the stick just went directly right into his chest, and like a sword, like this, right to his chest cavity. This dog could care less. I mean, running around with a stick shoved in his chest, and he's just sitting there, you know, chasing the rabbits and running around and tails wagging, and they don't, and that's the thing that I think a lot of dog owners like don't understand, is there's certain, a dog is what you make it for the most part, but at the end of the day, they're still animals. Like, I've had clients like tell me they don't want their dog to walk on pavement because it might hurt their pads, and I'm like... but you know, it is funny, but it's like, I totally get it, because some dog owners just have no clue. They love, and I get it. They're doing it out of love and ignorance, and they just have no idea like what these animals are savagely born and bred to potentially do, or, you know? So I think my point is yeah, the e-collar, as you rise up during this dog's getting like super locked in, is probably not going to de-escalate things for you. It's probably just going to shake his neck, and he's going to be like, you know, maybe even more intense. So you have to then take your body and deactivate this dog. So when he's on your left side and you're out and you're working with him and he sees that dog, I'm going to give you some scenarios, and I'll walk you through those things. Like, what is the dog's name that we're talking about?
My dog, Chico.
Chico. Okay. So Chico, and I would be doing this just with Chico and just leave the other dog at home for now.
Yeah, we take him for separate walks because it's a little easier to work one than the other, because I would only just do like work small circles with him. The other dog can go for long walks. He just goes for smaller walks.
Yeah. And what is he motivated by? Does he like food and treats?
No, he's he is definitely food made. So we went to like, you know, bringing chicken with him, like, something of different than a normal treat with him, trying to use a higher reward with him.
Yeah. Okay. So typically, and I'm going to walk you through some scenarios, some exercises. And just like if somebody were to give you stretching exercises, you're going to pick and choose what makes sense to you, what feels good for you, blah, 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 right? It's not like, I'm just going to give you some exercises that you can try. And then I'm going to send you some videos too of dogs like yours that we've had success with, kind of altering between the pager and then just handling.
Okay.
But the dog that you're working with right now is a difficult dog, because again, you're trying to tell a fish not to swim. Like, terriers are very, they obsess over things that like move, you know, like they're like, oh, I gotta go up to that. So it's difficult. So what you're dealing with is difficult, is what I'm trying to say. It's a hard dog to kind of snap out of these things. Like, hey, don't care about this. It's very difficult for this breed. So he's on your left side. Chico's in a heel. And you see a dog, you hear a dog, whatever. He kind of gets excited. He gets stimulated. Everything changes with him. And the closer you get, the more intense that gets. So right. Your job is to use your handling. So you're countering the scenario with, hey, let's do this instead. So it's a little bit of avoidance, but it's also just very structured so the dog makes better decisions. And I say a little bit of avoidance because I think full avoidance, which some people do, is they just get out of there. They're gone. They run away.
Right.
They pick their dog up. They whatever. And that's not necessarily bad. I mean, if somebody can't handle situations, that's probably a safer bet. But what I would encourage you to do is as you're out with him and he's in that heel on the left side, you would then say his name. So you go, Chico, come. And then you would just draw back. And so basically he's on your left side and then you start backpedaling. Chico, come. He's likely going to be locked in on that dog and forget that you even exist.
Okay.
And so when he stays locked in, as you're walking backwards, two things are happening. Is you are walking backwards, which if he's out with you, he should be very aware and mindful of where your body is. And also you told him to come or hear or whatever your verbal is. But you say, Chico, come. He's not listening. And then boom, he gets a correction. And so typically what ends up happening is the dog's like, oh shit, what? And then you say, and then essentially what I try to do is I push the dog forward again and then do it again. And I'm basically like, hey man, snap out of it. Pay attention to me. And that's what handling does. And then same thing with like an inside turn is as you're moving with him and he starts to load, you're going to take your left leg and basically just cut him off at a 90 degree angle. And you can do that for 6 inches and then cut again left. So you're basically left. You're going right back to where you came from. And then you're going right. So this whole thing that I'm talking about could take 4 seconds. You're trying to get his attention on you and not the other dog. Okay. And then if he gives you attention, he looks at you, he's mindful of your body, he starts right. to move back with you when you say, that's when the treats start. Hey man, good job. And again, there's some breeds and some dogs that are going to be like, this chicken is chopped liver to me compared to this dog. And that may happen with you, it may not.
Mm-hmm.
But your objective here is to say, hey, first of all, you have to pay attention to me because I'm in charge and you're not. And this is my responsibility to keep you, you know, in a good state of mind and all that stuff. But then once he starts to say, okay, fine, like, and that's pretty much what happens is dogs are like, oh, fine, like, you know, but they're still locked in on the dog. But as soon as your dog starts to give you some attention, some engagement, right. that's where the rewards start coming out. Yes, good. And they go, whoa, what is this? Now, that's like Crash Course 101. And again, I'm going to send you a couple of videos of me doing that with dogs, of the timing of when to turn away and all that stuff. The only difficult thing is the success of this is going to take a little bit of time. And I want you to understand that the different exercises of drawing back, turning in, stopping, sitting, like all of this is going to change. And don't be afraid to say, okay, because there's some dogs that I've been working with that I put them into a sit and they're a lot calmer in a sit because they just want to like see what this dog is doing. And they'll watch and they're in a sit. They're not moving. They're not crying. They're not shaking. They're not like building up. They're just watching this other dog pass. And then you just say, okay, break. And then you break him out and you pay him and you move on.
Okay.
I've had other dogs that works the exact opposite. That you put them into a sit and they're like, and they're sitting there.
They're building.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's worse. So I'm saying this because like every little aspect of handling dogs is going to be like that. It's going to change and evolve. And your job is to be able to do that fairly quickly.
Okay.
To make sure that you're like, nope, nope, yep, yep, nope. And you're just, I always tell people, it's like, you know, like an MMA fighter or something, like you're constantly evolving with the things around you, or in MMA, it's like your opponent, right? And your opponent in this case is the other dog. So whatever your dog is doing, you're going to have to change gears sometimes like instantaneously to try to figure out what works best. And once you figure it out, you're going to say, okay, this is how we handle situations.
Okay.
And I know that that's maybe not what you want to hear and boring.
No, it's not. I completely understand it, because it's like everything else is, as I said, is working every little bit. I said, whether it's working the front door, whether it's working, it's all in stages, and to see what works for him, and what works for him right. may not work for my other dog, and vice versa. So I completely understand that. And that's what I said. I said, I knew that. I said, it wasn't him, it's me. And what I need to learn from me to understand what I need to do in that moment for him. Mm-hmm. So I said, and it's all trial and error, like the same thing. Like we went through the phase of just stay within the small little parameter of the block, work 5 minutes with him on the block.
Yeah.
No long 1 mile walks. He gets short distances until he can get to the next progression, to the next. So it's all said trial and error, small scale, you know, take the wins when you get a win, as opposed to take the win and then, like yesterday, I should have just took the win and came home. We continued the walk, and then he failed on the next dog.
Yeah.
You know, I should have just took the win and turned around and went home. Mm-hmm. But I have a question on what your thought is. So now, he didn't react on the dog yesterday, on the one for me, or he reacted on the other one. So once they settle and you get distance, what is your thought process on what some say, like, follow that dog now? But the dog's ahead. He's out of his – he's done with his craziness. He's back in control. He's in heel like he's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Does distance, does it benefit him to now make sure he stays in a heel and it stays in his form like he's supposed to, following this dog? Or does that
– what do you mean?
Okay, so, like, he had a reaction – you know, he had no reaction on the dog yesterday. We were on the walk. Mm-hmm. So I rewarded him. I broke him out. We went around the bend. We were out of sight of the dog to reward him because he did such a great job. Do I turn him back now and make him heel, like in a tight heel, with some distance behind the other dog?
Follow the dog?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I felt like it sets him back up. Like leave the situation. We had a great thing. Let's just continue where we're going.
Yeah.
But they want me to, like, if he reacts or doesn't react once he breaks out of it, to follow the dog. And I'm like, I felt like the same thing. Like, I feel like I'm missing a piece, and I question, like, well, he'll learn. I'm like, I don't think he learns that way.
Yeah.
To me, I think it learned. Like, I just punished him for something. Now let's follow this dog.
Well, I just don't think it's beneficial.
Not as beneficial. Okay.
Yeah, because you're like, your job is to simply say, like, hey, man, I don't care what you think about other dogs. I don't like everybody. I don't care who you like and who you don't, man. But you can't act like a crazy person when we're out. That's just not happening. You know, so as soon as you go out and your dog's like, okay, I'll play cool, mom. I'll be good. I'll sit. I'll come back to you. I'll pay attention. I'll engage with you, blah, blah, blah. And again, when I'm saying this is a 4 second thing. This isn't like a 20 minute thing. This is a really quick thing, you know. And then if you do good and they make a great decision, and then you're like, okay, now let's go follow the dog. Like, we're not. Your objective isn't to say, hey, I want to get close enough to this dog to, like, have them hug and kiss. The goal is when we're out and you're out for your walk, this is about you. This is about you going out for your walk and being able to enjoy your dog. And your dog is going to be okay with some dogs. Your dog is going to get riled up with other dogs. Why that is, I'm not worried about that. It's more about how do we handle the situation when it happens. Okay. And if your dog behaves good and you do a little quick, you know, leash handling to kind of calm the dog down and you move on, that's all you would expect. I couldn't imagine being like, okay, you've passed the test. Now go chase the dog down.
Right.
Why would you do that? That they're not... Unless, again, it's like we're not trying to meet the dogs. We're not trying to, if he's giving you an inch, don't try to take a mile and say, okay, now let's fail you. Like, that wouldn't make any sense to me in any way. To, once your dog finally accomplishes what you've been wanting them to do, I wouldn't say, okay, now we're going to go a step further, because it's like you're never going to be happy. Right. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the other dog that's now getting, you know, hunted.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I said, you know, I said, I watched plenty of videos, different things. And I said, I took notes on different things that I've seen that you do. And I kept saying, like, I'm like, I said to my husband, he said, I love where they train certain things, but for some reason, this wasn't sitting right with me, this whole thing. And I said, it's like taking my kid. If I don't take my kid for a second opinion before a surgery or something like that, I said, I have to do this because I feel like,
right.
I'm reading a book, what is it? Meet Your Dog, or I think it's called Meet Your Dog. Let me introduce you to your dog, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's explaining. So it's explained like this person lived in the country, whatever. Had a wheat and terrier, didn't understand. They had a farm. The dog was all over the place in the barn all day. They moved to like the mountains, and in the book, the person's saying, like, my dog's going crazy. They need Prozac. You know, they need doggy Prozac. I can't figure what's going on. So they had someone come in the house. The vet's like, call this person and have them come look.
Yeah.
She's like, do you understand what your dog does? And the person's like, what do you mean? She goes, you have mice in your walls. Your dog is scratching your walls and attacking your walls because there's mice. And the dog was probably doing that in the hay at the barn.
Yeah.
You didn't know it. And I was like, it's interesting because it breaks down different things like that I would never have thought of. And I said, like, I've watched a million things. I've done webinars. I'm reading books. I'm like, but I kept saying, like, it's not him. It's me. And I said, and it's just some piece that missing. And I said, I'm doing what my trainers say, but again, not everything works for every dog. And they kept saying to me, like, if this doesn't work with him, we don't know what to do. And I'm like, this isn't working. And I've been saying, and I'm paying for private lessons and it's not working. And I said, you know, you pay a lot of money for, and then it comes and it doesn't happen when they bring their dogs. I'm like, he knows the difference. You're here, hit your dogs. He won't do it. Like, he can literally walk within like inches of their dogs.
Yeah.
On a walk, we are on completely opposite sides of the road, and it could happen. So I said, I just don't want to continue setting him up to fail, because that's what I felt like it was happening at that point. I'm like, I'm taking him out, I'm punishing him, I'm scolding him, I'm knocking him down, I'm not building confidence in him or me at this point. And I said, I come home upset from my walk because I feel like I just beat the dog down, basically, mentally. By killing him with the e-collar and telling him bad and pulling on his pinch collar and the whole thing. I got to that point. I'm like, I just can't.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, that's why I do what I do, is you're just like, hey, what the heck's going on here? What's the right. And it's just all like, everyone's trying to figure it out. And I'm like, you know, I've done this couple thousand times successfully. Yeah. I can point you in the right direction and just take, you know, what, like you said, just take what works and just go with that. Okay. And but I think right now, again, don't focus on trying to get rid of this. Like, you're not, you
know, it's more of a man, how to manage it more than
and that's what all life is.
Yeah,
that's what I think people get, like, kind of afraid of. I mean, I think that there's ethical management and then of course. Like, you know, if you have a dog that has a prey drive and just gets riled up about other dogs, I mean, that's normal. Like, okay, yeah, we got to deal with this, you know? Like, it's just like with kids that get, for an example, like, I live in a cul-de-sac, and when the ice cream man comes in the summer, all the kids go nuts. You know, like, that's management. It's like, we haven't had dinner yet. You just had ice cream. There's certain things that you have to be like, no. They're like, yeah, but I want to. And that's what your dog is doing. I want to go see this dog for whatever reason. Why isn't the point? The point is the buck stops with you. And you say, no, we're not doing this. You know, go back inside and finish your dinner. Yeah, but I hear the din, da, 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 da. No, we're done. And that's what's happening. And so you just have to figure out how you're going to do it. But I think right now, instead of just trying to correct, because some, as you know, I'm really big on what works. And some dogs do really great with just a correction. Like, we just worked with a Chihuahua in my last video, and I corrected him once, and he's like, I'm done with this.
Right.
And I just used a slip leash. Pop. He's like, okay, I'm done. And but the owner couldn't do that. So it took her a couple of days to figure it out. So you just have to figure out what's going to work for you and your dog. And it's handling. It's drawbacks. It's cutoffs. It's stops. It's payment reward systems. And I'd like to send you some videos of some terriers that I've worked with recently over the summer that will be helpful for you, because there's this one dog in particular named Creature. Okay. They didn't name the dog. He came with that. And
Fine Chico came with his name.
yeah. And I don't know. It's whatever. But he's a small little, like, Amstaff mix. So still a very like prey driven dog, really, really wants to go out and work. And he was very, very, very locked in on things, like very locked in on things. And to be honest, I was like very, very in my head. I'm like, there's no way this dog's gonna not do this. I mean, because again, it's the Staffies are terriers as well, you know, so they're very like hunty, prey dogs. And, you know, and these guys adopted this dog, so they don't know what these people before them said, hey, we want you to behave like this. Who knows? So I knew I was going against the grain on genetics. And but anyway, my point was, is that's it. That's what I'm going to send you for sure. It was a really, I was very impressed with the ability to get this dog out of what we needed to. But we did it with a lot of positive reinforcement reward systems in combination of inappropriate, nope, done. And we used the e-collar and we used the leash pressure and we were able to then put him into group class. And I was like, that was just one that sticks out for me that I was like, I thought was never gonna like not care about dogs. And by the end of the program, he was like, he didn't. So anyway.
It's amazing. One last thing, because I'm getting closer.
Sure.
Do I try the pager with him in the backyard to try in?
You can. The only problem, here's the thing, is
I just said, my thing is like, I can do whatever with him, but I said, but it's the same thing as, you know, if the neighbor's door's on the other side, if I don't hear them or whatever, you know, property-wise.
No, you can.
Because they have a huge garage thing that, you know, next to our fence line, so it's not even like we could see their door to let their dog out. But I said, like, it's 0 to 80 to the threshold. It's like, boom, as soon as that dog comes, he's beyond.
Yeah. So, again, you can. It's just, I would just be, I think you might have to stay out there for a while and just leave it, Because the thing is the dog on the other side of the fence is going to remain there. And so, it's not going to be that clear about what this dog can do and not do. So, like,
right. But if I can manage it somehow and kind of.
Yeah, you can curb it. Yeah.
My thing is to try and curb it a little bit at least. I said, he ended up hurting his. We took out a go for a CAT scan on his shoulder because he ended up hurting his bicep from pouncing on that fence. We kept having the lameness come and going.
Yeah.
From pound, you see the whole PVC fence rocking from him.
Yeah, yeah. You can definitely correct that. I was just saying, like, you're not going to be able to correct his. His attention towards the other dog. That's what I was saying. So,
but if I can curb it from 100 down to 40, that, you know, because I said he's great in the yard until this dog comes out. It's like, it's it. You're like, you enjoy it, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, and just intense. But I said, like, I know everything's always like, you know, watch the violet, catch before the threshold. But it's like, he literally, this dog comes out. I don't know. He smells it because you don't even hear a peep from the dog yet. Mm-hmm. And he bolts off that deck to that corner and just goes. So, but if I can do the pager or something, try and just to, and then work on his recoil to get him away and kind of level it down a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can definitely start to curb some of those like extra stuff, like the jumping and maybe even the barking. You're just not going to be able to stop the.
No, I said, but if I can curb it a little bit and then get it down to more of a more manageable.
Yeah, sure.
Level.
Yeah, that's fair.
Perfect. Okay. I appreciate your time and your expertise and your patience and
no problem.
And everything you put out for everybody. I said, because I looked to see where you were. I had them send me information on the 3-day class. I'm like, it's me. I know it's me. Mm-hmm. And ironically, I almost moved to that area because I'm on Long Island. And 10 years ago, my job was moving everybody up to Boston Spa.
Oh, funny.
So I have people that live in Clifton Park and stuff like that that are up there. I'm like, small world that this is where you would locate it, that is right near where I was transferred to.
Yep.
So, but thank you so much. I look forward to the videos coming in and then putting a wonderful testimonial once we get through this and I get through this and learn what I have to do to get him to where he needs to be for him mentally.
Yeah, amazing. So, I'll send you you're welcome. I'll send you the reinforcing emails or videos so you can check out exactly what I'm talking about with other dogs that I've done. And then you can take what I've told you here and then mix it in with some of the videos and be on with it. Yeah.
Perfect. I took 3 pages of notes. So
amazing. Cool. All right.
Cool.
Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you so much and have a great day.
All right, you guys, you've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. As always, again, we're out of questions. So if you guys want me to answer your specific questions, head over to the iTunes review chart, leave your review and your question in the review. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.